And welcome, everybody. It is great to see all these faces. And my job today is pretty simple. It's my distinct pleasure to introduce Todd Weinstein, who is our facilitator today. A bit of background about Todd. And one of the things I value most in what he brings is his 20 years of experience, as we say, on the inside. He has held at least, I don't know how many have been, Todd, but multiple leadership roles inside three Fortune 500 companies. He's been an HR business partner, as well as having led the leadership and development and org change functions in large companies. So Todd gets the people we consult to, because he was one. After 20 years on the inside, Todd got certified through the Hudson Institute of Coaching as a coach, and is certified through ICF, the International Coaching Foundation. Let's see what else. He does one-to-one coaching. He works with teams. He does a lot of team facilitation, really in the service of organizational change. He's also working with the Extraordinary Teams Partnership, using their approach to working with teams and groups. Todd, in his own words, helps business leaders navigate complexity so they gain more awareness of what's working well and more clarity about what's really getting in the way of what they want. And if any of us can do that for our clients, we're delivering the greatest of services. And that's why I'm excited to have Todd here today to talk about this topic, which, whether we like it or not, is so very timely and so very critical. Todd, I will turn it over to you. And great. Have a good time, everybody. I'll stick around.
Thank you so much, Carlos. Really appreciate the introduction. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you all today. If you can hear me, I just want to get like a thumbs up or something that helps me know. Excellent. Some visual cues always help in a virtual environment. Oh, David's on the advanced track there using emojis already. So nice to see. We're going to be doing a very virtual and interactive session today, and that's going to include using chat, using breakouts, and modeling some of the things that we are looking for from our virtual team leaders. And to Carlos's introduction, one of the things that I really appreciate about the OD function and the importance of the organizational view is that it's really where the big shifts and changes happen. And if you think of what's going on right now, even more important that we're paying attention to those changes. And the team view is where I tend to spend a lot of time, because I appreciate the fact that it's both allowing us to pivot to the individual behaviors and the organizational system. So I'm so pleased to be with you all today. And I'm, as an internal OD consultant for many years, just appreciate the work that you all do and hope that you get something of value today. I would love to just check in and get a sense of who's here on the call, and we're going to use chat to do that. Before I do, I will say that what I do here today is going to be interactive, so look for opportunities to pause, to give input, to use chat, and then also to get our voices on the call at a certain point. As much as we can. So in the chat window, would love to just know your name, if you're not clearly titled by your Zoom account already. If you are, no need. Your location, where you're dialing in from, joining us from in the world. And in the past 5 years, what's one change that you've noticed about virtual teams? And let's, maybe leave the last month or so aside, obviously, as the biggest change that we're noticing. But what have you noticed that maybe has been a trend or something that has taken shape over the past 5 years? We'd love to just invite some input from you on the chat window. Just go ahead and share. So Eddie's coming in from Columbus, Ohio, home of the Buckeyes. We've got people coming in from Chicago, from Fort Collins, from Ottawa, Canada. I appreciate Canadians on the call. I grew up in Vancouver, British Columbia, actually. So nice to see folks calling in from north of the border there. Rebecca from snowy Minneapolis. So nice to see. You can see as people checking in. A trend coming from Kevin. Greater expectations, dependency, but highly uneven results. Great. More virtual teams from Zhao Fan. Now in China or across all kinds of regions and organizations. Huber from Vienna. It's kind of hard to keep up here. They're coming in fast. tough times, but good healthcare system. Go Canucks, nice. And so you can start to scroll through and see some of the trends and things that we've noticed. The biggest change I've seen is the push for people centricity, UX, and delivery models around product. So really appreciating these comments coming in, and I'll leave those scrolling through so you can start to see. This is what's happening right now, is that things are changing so dramatically and drastically. There's a consultant and a woman named Clara Genkai-Bree, some of you may be familiar with, who shared this quote recently with Pam McLean, the head of the Hudson Institute. She said, remember when disruption was something we spoke about in theory? And this idea of living in a world where even a year ago, this time, clients that I was working with, leaders I was talking to, were saying, you know, I'm sort of overwhelmed with this trifecta of having to do more with less in less time. And that was already being talked about. And now here we are at a time where not only do we have the never-ending swirl of demands, deadlines, but we have this new unpredictability and a shift that is happening in a way that no one has really seen before in our lifetime. And so we're trying to make sense of it, let alone figure out how to operate in it. And this is creating all sorts of interesting challenges, experiments, and opportunities for leaders. And this topic has been something that probably for the past 5 years or so, I've really been enamored with, whether it's thinking about the future of work, the future of leadership, how teams are starting to shift and change, and the implications that that has for organizations. And that's what I'd like to dive in and spend some time with you on today. A lot of research out there we know ties to the idea of good leadership has sort of foundational qualities. Qualities like clear communication, a well-articulated vision, regular updates and measurements to ensure progress is being made. All of those things are sort of the well-knowns of good team leadership, and we know that. We've probably all been exposed to those ideas before. The idea here, though, is virtual teams and virtual team leaders need an additional layer of skills. They need to be more precise in their communication. They need to think about the shifting environments and the contexts that are happening right now. Have strong understanding of how new tools and technology, especially those that foster innovation and learning. And they also need to build deep trust. And building deep trust is allowing them to work through these compelling challenges and creating a clarity around the compelling challenges. So this is what we're learning from the research out there on the importance of the skill sets that virtual team leaders are needing. And I'm going to spend a little time talking today about a few of those in a bit more detail. The output of this is... and I see your question, Hubert, and we're going to get to building trust. So I want to appreciate that, you know, people are offering up ideas and questions throughout here. The end result is a web of these balanced outcomes that we start to see. We're working in an environment that helps us get business results, helps us have some flexibility and adaptability to the changing environment and surroundings that are going on, to keep the productivity demands up and make sure we're being efficient, and also to access some resilience. I mean, if you think of what's going on right now and what people are going through, I just spent an hour with a group of vice presidents from a major retailer talking about how are we helping our people access kind of their best strengths right now at a time that is so challenging. Not only are they working from home, but many of them are homeschooling their children. Many of them are having to, you know, make meals, prepare things, deal with aging parents or sick family members or all sorts of other things going on. And so this web is really what we're going to spend a little time thinking about, and even the idea of a spider's web and how that can play in to what a virtual team can look like. The other thing I just want to mention briefly is the Extraordinary Teams Partnership that Carlos mentioned earlier is really, in general, built on this research into what are extraordinary teams made up of? What is it that teams that not just perform well, not just high performing, but the teams that produce outstanding results and achieve a level of personal transformation for people on those teams. This is what we're trying to get to with teams in general. How do we get to both outstanding results and transformation? And that often is only happening when we can create experiences where people feel energized and connected and hopeful, and therefore tapping into that resilience. So I just wanted to mention that, because while we're not diving into this model in specific today, I do think it's important that the work that Ryan and Corey and Bellman have done around the importance of what an extraordinary team can look like gives us a lot to think about when it comes to the value of what a leader can do in a virtual environment. So this idea of a spider's web is really where we're going to spend some time today. And I think, you know, one thing that really struck me as I was thinking about our time together today is I was doing some research and reading an article that was put out by the World Economic Forum Executive Opinion Survey. And this is what it said. It said in 2019, less than 10% of business leaders from G20 and OECD countries considered the spread of infectious diseases as a looming global risk, according to the World Economic Forum Executive Opinion Survey. Nor were companies anticipating that a pandemic might test their public reputation as a responsible employer. So that was last year. So think of what's happening right now. And without agile teams that stay close to each other and to their industry trends and shifts, it's hard to imagine something like COVID-19 couldn't happen again. So going virtual definitely presents new challenges, but it doesn't prevent us from staying connected. And I like the term physical distancing versus, you know, physical or social distancing, right? It's still socially connected. How do we take physical distance into consideration, but staying socially connected? So this virtual web is one way of looking at the key qualities that allow virtual teams and in turn their organizations to work effectively and to find approaches that adapt at the speed in which workplaces are shifting right now. So today we're going to dive a little deeper into three of these areas and explore how can they lead to more effective virtual teams and the implication on organizations today. So these five are the areas that make up this web. And if you think about a spider's web, there is a sort of strength and flexibility that really comes in. And that seems like a really good analogy for what a virtual team needs right now. So clarity, of course, the idea of having a clear focus. What is our purpose? Where are we going? And you probably have a pretty good idea of what clarity means. Commitment is one we're going to dive into a little bit more deeply. And as a virtual team leader, gaining true commitment can be more challenging when we aren't connecting as regularly or in person. So strong virtual leaders are finding themselves having to check in, understand both the personal and professional goals of those on their teams, and following through on the commitments that they're making to their teams, as well as the commitments that those people have made for each other. If you work with a team from an external perspective, many of you might come in and be consultants who are coming in to work with a team of maybe a mixture of people from external and internal, then this commitment may be gained through other means like credibility or integrity or other trust building activities or behaviors. And we're going to dive into this idea of trust. So Hubert asked the question, how do we build trust in virtual teams? And that is my first question to you in the chat poll. I would love to invite you in now to share a thought here. What have you found helps build trust on virtual teams? What are some things that you have noticed, been a part of, experienced, or, you know, had the chance to lead people through? And just focusing on that first question, transparency. I'm seeing David saying, people in our fields have been saying that the physical distance phrase because of the importance of social connection. Yeah, nice. I start with some social time and start by being vulnerable to create empathy from Heidi. Genuine check-ins, honest conversations. Excellent questions. opportunities for one-on-one, getting to know each other, transparency about policies, practices, and business results, check-ins, consistency between what is said and what is done. Dissonance is the enemy of trust. So some interesting examples here. Carlos offered a sense of intentionally developed or shared purpose, truthfulness. You know, there's a lot to be said about right now what kind of test is being put to leaders to create trust in an environment where they don't always have the answers, and when they're trying to think about what it is that they can do to create a valuable conversation with their team when that's not all there. So I'd love to just invite maybe, you know, a comment or two by voice. Maybe we can take, allow people to take themselves off mute, Tanya, and just ask this question. As we shift into a virtual work as a norm, what do you think organizations might be needing to do to create the conditions for greater trust? What would be a thought that someone might want to share here before we move into the next section here? And Tanya, also just want to confirm our poll would be next or after the next slide. I just want to check in with you.
How do we, is there a protocol?
Go ahead, just jump in. And Heidi, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, thank you. So at my previous company, which was almost entirely distributed, I was the remote hub leader. And so basically I was caring for the teams and sending out regular surveys to find out how can we improve remote working. For example, you might have an office manager in person and the remote people don't normally have that. So how do they want to celebrate? It's easy to find the things that you could do in person, like company picnics, but how would people want to do that in a remote environment? So it's really reaching out to them and implementing some of the things that they did. But for me, the biggest thing was having somebody own that and discovering that whiteboarding tool was one of the main things that they found to be important to them. And then I led that effort through finance.
Nice.
I can say a lot, but yeah.
Yeah. So just so I'm understanding, when you talk about the whiteboarding tool, what did that allow?
That allowed agile teams to collaborate together in a distributed environment. Previously, we didn't really have a tool that did that, and it was basically enabled for anyone across the whole company. So before, we didn't have anyone leading the effort or even asking those questions. And so I strongly feel to this day that appointing someone to care for those remote folks and caring for their needs and asking them those questions, like, you know, I set up Donut, for example, for the Slack chat to pair people. We had random coffee chats and I was spearheading all that because a lot of people just don't think of that in a remote environment.
Yeah. Nice. So having that designated person who's really overseeing that and thinking about their experience, you know, and still being able to get meaningful work done. Thanks, Heidi. Appreciate that comment. Maybe one or two more. Is there another thought here on how we can, you know, create the conditions for greater trust to happen in a virtual environment? Feel free to take yourself off mute and jump in.
This is Bill Zybach. I've got a comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
My first sense, because I work virtually, I worked virtually for 2 years in the bank, in a 1,000 person bank. My first feeling is that there's actually not a lot different in terms of what you need to do in terms of building trust virtually versus what you do in real time. Because, and like Heidi said, you know, it is, and examples in the chat box. How do we do those online? How do we do them? And part of it is there is a keener attention to sound.
Yeah.
That means, particularly in these days, because we've turned off our cameras in many instances just to save bandwidth because of the crisis. So do we pay particular attention to sound, which means we also have to do the Google Aristotle thing, which is audaciously listen to each other and make sure everyone is heard. So I think it's really honing in the capabilities and skills that we have to listen and pay attention and move from just the transactional activity. I've just finished a project where I introduced attention meeting, which is governance in holacracy, simply to pay attention to the things that weren't in our meetings that were on metrics, on projects, on, you know, those kinds of things, to balance out the human side. And it is really being more human than we ever have been before.
You know, I really appreciate that comment, Bill. And one of the things that reminded me of was a conversation I had with a client just earlier, or at the end of last week. She said to me, you know, it's interesting. I'm noticing now when I go into meetings and have these virtual meeting experiences, how much more we are listening to each other. You don't have sidebar conversations. You don't have people talking over one another, or it wouldn't make sense to everyone. So you almost have to let everyone go and show up and listen and be connecting with each other a lot more. So just by virtue of the tools and the capabilities of what we have, the experience of being in a meeting is very different. So let's move on, but I really appreciate ongoing input coming into the chat. You know, Kathy had written here, getting to know and appreciate people on a personal and professional level, be willing to share the tough issues and successes, consistency, walk the talk, really listening without judgment, and appreciating these differences. And so like you said earlier, Bill, some of this is the same stuff that we've been doing all the time as team leaders, or the importance of leading. It's just that we now have to be a little bit more attuned to, a little bit more acutely aware of the modalities and of the way in which people are going to feel connected. Tanya, I think we had a poll next. Is that right? Still with us?
There
we are.
There it is.
All right. So here we are. I'd love to just have your immediate thoughts here. In a virtual team, which of these three contributes most to building trust? So you should be able to choose either leader credibility, a culture where people feel connected, team members who can rely on each other. We'd love to just see from this community what we're thinking as a group. So we've got about 75. Just wait another minute or so. Option D, all, from Eddie. Yeah, it's nice when you can pick that one. So I was just curious to see where we ended up here, and it looks to me like team members who can rely on each other, and that kind of ability for people to feel like they are, you know, staying connected, but in terms of relying on getting that work done is a big part of it. And then pretty closely aligned there on leader credibility and a culture of connection. So interesting poll results there. And that really kind of ties into this next thought on trust, which is when we're building trust, there's often the importance of all three of these: credibility, connection, and reliability that comes into play. Right? Credibility is knowing what we're talking about, bringing useful, well-researched, accurate information forward, and being someone that people know is saying something that makes sense. The building common understanding of our similarities really starts to be the connection piece. Being able to see both our similarities and our differences, and appreciating each other for who we are as people. This connection makes a difference, and that builds trust. And then, of course, being able to follow through on our commitments and being someone that others can really count on, that consistency, that reliability, knowing that that's going to be there, all three of these matter for a leader. So if you're building a virtual team, or you're working with someone who's building a virtual team, helping them understand the value of not just being the person who's driving it yourself, but connecting each other so that these same behaviors. And I think all of you, you know, many of you answered this idea of people feeling they can rely on each other. You can see how much that matters. So let's keep moving along into the next one here, communication, because I'd love to get another conversation going. Then we're going to have you work in a short breakout here in a moment to get you talking about what this might mean. So when it comes to commitment, we've had this idea of, you know, getting this clear purpose and having a commitment around that clear purpose. Communication then becomes essential. And we're learning, of course, a lot more every day from the importance of what our neuroscientists are helping us understand around communication. What are we learning? We're learning that we need to harness emotion to understand better. So how can we take the emotional part of our brain and use that as a way to help us decide, how to retain information more effectively? So whether it's understanding that stress and fear is going to be a factor, the amygdala hijacking that goes on that can impact our rational thinking, or creating a situation or a circumstance where people become emotionally connected with each other through laughter, through empathy, those types of things can really help. So by casting employees as heroes in a shared mission, it can create a much deeper emotional connection to what they're working on, and that can really help with communication. We're wired for story. You know, the only way our brains really understand and make sense of things is through this idea of story, because this is what has been a part of our oral history and tradition for thousands and thousands of years. So it's important to understand that when we're working with people, that using story can be really powerful and makes a huge difference in comprehension. Sharing what is known. Sometimes in times of uncertainty, we have to then focus on sharing what is clearly certain right now. What do we know, even in the midst of change, even without knowing everything? How do we really make sure that we have a clarity of what's happening? And what are some of the familiar messages and messengers that we can involve? So when we're working on huge change efforts, we know that bringing in seasoned people who've been involved in this process before, people who have familiarity and credibility to others, can be really important to tap into during times like this. And then, of course, you know, Bill mentioned it before, this idea of human connection. So many organizations underestimate the need for social and emotional connection between people and how that can be such a valuable tool to drive productivity and to drive engagement. A question here from Eddie. Can I say a little bit more about the role of emotion and understanding? Yeah. So the idea here is that insight often comes from both an intellectual and an emotional connection. And when both of those neural pathways are laid down, what we know is that we are able to retain information more effectively, and we are able to make sense and comprehend information more effectively as well. And so what I'm not referring to, though, is traumatic emotional experiences. Those can actually shut down the prefrontal cortex and get us not thinking as clearly. I'm talking about emotion that will draw people in, like telling people you're a part of something bigger, helping them see the impact that they've had, helping them laugh and enjoy one another, have some levity in their environment, and having a memory made around associating something productive with something that was enjoyable as well. You can all think of times when you've been on teams where you can remember getting a lot of great work done and doing so in a way or in an environment that you were enjoying. So that's the emotion piece. It both helps us comprehend and understand, but it also helps us retain and associate with the kind of work that we want. I hope that helps. Great. So as we think about collaboration, I really want to get us into and Heidi's put out a great article there, a wonderful HBR article on the neuroscience of trust. Thank you. So nice link there for you all to take a look at some point. These are some questions that I would love to get you into groups of three or four to have some discussion around right now. So we want to give you about maybe 10 minutes or so to get into a conversation, maybe a little bit less. We'll just see how we're doing. And these are the three questions. How do we design organizations to make virtual working simpler and easier? I don't think this question has been answered yet, and I think we are on the forefront of a massive wave of change in organizations, not just due to COVID-19, but also just due to the fact that you know, the continued globalization, the continued change and shift. I work inside some retailers or other consumer product industries where there's just these massive groups of teams coming together and breaking apart like hives and sort of beehives constantly swarming around. Some people are on 9 different teams. So how might we design organizations to make virtual working simpler and easier? The second question is, what barriers can we help to reduce with our work? There are a lot of things that are getting in the way of making that easy. And then the third is, what do leaders need to listen for now even more among team members that they're communicating with? So I would love for you to pick, an individual from your breakout group when we get into these groups in a moment, who might share one or two highlights from your conversation, not to recount maybe each answer, but maybe share one or two key highlights. And we want to give you 10 minutes or so to now break into the breakout discussion and get into some conversation with each other. You may want to take a screenshot of these questions. We will also put them into the chat and the broadcast message into your breakout rooms. But if you haven't used breakout rooms before, this will be a good opportunity for you to get into a conversation in a virtual environment with a smaller group, and then we'll come back all together. Any questions before we send you off? If you do, feel free to hang out. If you have any trouble and you are noticing yourself not really able to get into the breakout, or there's any issue, just drop out of the meeting and rejoin, and we'll assign you back in. All right. Well, we will see you in about 10 minutes. Your breakout end in the middle of conversation. Just wait a few more minutes for people to arrive. And so what I would love to do is, I will stop sharing in a moment. You can see Tanya has added the questions into our chat window. I'm going to just do a stop share, and you can go on gallery view. It's a nice way to see everyone here all at once. But would love to maybe hear from one person per group. What was a takeaway? What was something that came up in this conversation about the way that we might design organizations to make this virtual teamwork easier? Barriers that we may be able to help reduce, or what leaders might need to be listening for now among team members who are communicating. Anyone want to start us off as a representative and spokesperson for your group?
Todd, I can go.
Great. Eddie.
So I think what stood out from our conversation, a great conversation, was we talked about organizational boundaries and then we talked about like cultural and mental models being potential barriers to that. You know, how do you, the notion of virtual team bringing a lot of people in and allowing to cross those traditional boundaries. But then there might be mental models still holding people back from that. And I think the third thing is the notion of leadership in the traditional hierarchy or matrix leader, but personal accountability. For creating space for trust to build.
Yeah, nice. So more of that connection from each person to one another rather than in that traditional hierarchy.
Yes. Yeah. It was nice. Kind of a both, is the traditional hierarchy and the distributed leadership role.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Eddie. Yep. Who's another who'd like to share?
I can come in. Carlos, David. And I had a great small group conversation. And a couple of highlights, I think, are one of the key aspects that I think is not only true for this issue, but for a few others as well, is we need to design with ways that build flexibility in rather than design things that build stability and permanence in. And I think there's a lot of work that we still need to do on that. And then the second piece of this is the critical role of leaders who can't let go of control or can't provide the space for others to be both regularly updated and regularly involved in some form that both keeps the trust growing, but also keep the productivity moving. And it's just amazing how many leaders just need a good coach in their ear to help them get out of their own way.
Yeah,
so
beautifully said, David. And, you know, it also takes me to a conversation that I've been having lately with leaders who in a time like this right now, they feel like I need to step in and stay connected. And it's actually coming off as micromanaging every little task, and it's too much. So how do we find that right balance? And what do we have to let go?
Well, and the more things change rapidly and the more chaos we're in, I think more fear grows in the leaders.
Yeah.
So the leaders get more fearful, and you know they're going to fall back on habitual behaviors.
Regularly. Nice. So, Thank you. Who's next? Someone else like to go?
I can go for our group. Had a good conversation.
Okay. I see you, Renee. We'll come to you after.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Gianna.
Oh, all right. Okay. So good conversation with Giselle. I hope I said her name right. I'll have to follow up with her later. And Kevin. And Kevin pointed out that, you know, we know how to do this. And this is kind of following on to Eddie's point, distributed teams. You know, we have a lot of experience with that over over the last couple of decades with outsourcing. And while it's not necessarily outsourcing, a lot of these principles can apply to our design in addition to the other points that have been raised.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you for that. Great points. Renee?
Hi, everyone. So our group, we had just tackled number one, and we were struggling with it, actually. So what we had talked about was that there seems to be a high volume of number of teams. So projects that you're sitting on, and it just becomes your workday is going from meeting to meeting to meeting. So virtual in itself, virtual teams, you don't have any productivity or work time. You're simply going from one meeting to the next and not being able to actually get things done. We said from an organizational perspective that what could be simpler and easier is that there are so many technology new tools coming out there. And so from an organizational perspective, to choose those tools that make sense for their business and for everyone and individuals to feel comfortable with those new tools. So part of that resiliency is not feeling comfortable with the tools that the organization is giving, and them might have, you know, productivity issues. So I think overall, we were just talking about needs to be fewer teams and more time to connect. So going back to our conversation about trust, it was we do need more time to have that professional check-ins and the personal check-ins. We're being much more vulnerable. Everybody, we're invading everyone's personal space. And so we need to have that more time for connection.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. We are in people's homes now. Right. When we're working virtually at the moment, we're stepping into their lives in a new and different way. That vulnerability, I think, is really important. My colleagues and I use the phrase connection over content a lot. How do we really help people connect first before we dive into all the stuff we want to share? And then the other thing you said is the tools, right? People are not comfortable sometimes using all of these new and different tools. And how do we get them comfortable with that? Because it can really knock us off balance, especially if we're leading a team and we're supposed to be responsible for leading, but yet we don't have the same comfort level as we need. Let's hear from one more.
It's Paul here. Can you hear me?
Great. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, we talked about there's an increased informal feel to work now, and we are kind of okay with kids and dogs bounding in. And in a sense that whether we like it or not, we'll flatten an organization in a sense. Yeah. There's a force towards that. We also talked about sort of the impact on leaders. I'd like to expand that at some point, but to non-leaders, but on one hand, there's the human level, you know, sensitivity, increased listening, things that others have been talking about. And there's also the very business hard expectation, clarification, goal setting that has to ramp up as well. So the impact from a design point of view is both human and business. And those are the kinds of things that Naomi, Rebecca, and I talked about.
Nice.
Thank you.
That's great. Thank you, Paul. Yeah, this ability to kind of meet both demands and find a way in, down the middle can be really, really a challenging balance to strike. I would like to move on, but if you have other thoughts and you didn't get a chance to share, please feel free to put that into chat. We're going to save out this transcript and be able to share that back because there's a lot of good information in here. And so we'd love to invite any other group you know, spokespeople to add in your additional thoughts in the chat window as I move us along and get us closer to wrapping up here. So sorry to cut short if you had another thought to share, but please feel free to add that into chat. The last thing I want to mention is this idea of collaboration. And of course, oh, I'm really moving fast there. Okay, virtual web of success. The next one we move around to is collaboration, because this is really what needs to happen once people are communicating and understanding and clear and committed. How do we actually do the work together? And what struck me here about the idea of collaboration is, you know, what's really important is the leaders who do this well meet regularly and give really high quality feedback. They have direct communication that doesn't sort of triangulate with other people a lot. They go directly to who they need to, and they challenge status quo thinking by building on what's working well. So there's sort of an optimism to how do we meet this challenge? How do we build on what's happening? When I looked into this more deeply, you know, there's an interesting article, and we can also make this available to you around, or you can see the title there at the bottom, how to collaborate effectively as your team is remote. You know, some of these preceded all that's going on. It was interesting to see some of these practices around not conflating brief communications and clear communications, not bombarding your team with messages, which I mentioned before, and establishing some norms, understanding what are some of the hidden opportunities in sending things out in a written form, and how do we create intentional space for celebration? So someone mentioned that before. How do we really help people continue to celebrate what's working and what progress we have been making? That helps people continue to move. And Heidi, thanks for posting your thoughts there. Those are out there for Heidi's group. What that got me thinking about is the consultant practices that go along with this. So if we're stepping in from an external standpoint, how do we step in and check for clarity with good short questions that draw out mutual understanding? How are we thoughtful about all of our messages that are initiated to clients rather than, you know, sending them one-offs all the time? How do we co-create agreements about how communication will happen throughout the relationship? Not just what needs to get done, but how are we going to stay connected and in touch with each other? And then what are we doing to use written communication to acknowledge and appreciate and follow up and not to influence? I see this as being a huge missed opportunity for a lot of internal or external consultants who try to create this sort of comprehensive list of things that need to happen or that they want to have happen. And it can fall flat when people are scrolling through three or four screens of your email, right? And then creating intentional and unexpected moments to celebrate particular milestones, wins, things like that, I think can make a huge difference on a good collaborative and co-created experience. So I just wanted to share some thoughts there. And Matt, now maybe invite you in to share a thought or two before we wrap up on collaboration. How do you see teams collaborating differently in the next 2 or 3 years? I see Harris says, being in virtual meetings all the time does not equal higher collaboration to solve the problem. Great insight there. What are other things that come to mind? And I'll invite you to check in here with a thought on chat, or if you'd like to share something by voice, you're welcome to just chime in with your mute off and share a thought or two, and we'll just take a couple before we wrap up.
Our team talked about the BZR. I was just getting ready to tape it. We talked about on the barriers question, the need to pace differently, because we've had a lot of built-in constraints around like travel and trying to get people together. And now the work is paced differently because everyone can be available the next day. So mm-hmm. That was one. And then the other one was just adding on to some points some other people made around and leaders connecting intentionally. It's also the team, because physically you'd have the meeting before the meeting, meeting after the meeting, sidebar conversations. And so it's a little bit different in how people will connect and being more intentional about that, in addition to the points already raised around the leader.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you, Chana. Any other thoughts on collaboration and how that might start to look a little different? see Peter here saying the virtual teaming will not be considered one thing, greater diversity, reflecting stable versus ad hoc teams, project teams, problem solving teams, social events. Who is in the room has changed. Teams can now be global. And the concept of workday has changed. Definitely time zones and geographies are really impacting this. More self-managing needed. Yeah, I mean, the idea of the leader managing and owning all this is really starting to shift to everyone taking collective leadership and ownership of these ideas. And I can see this playing out the same as the introduction of email, e-commerce, and reaction to that, increased networks for everyone. So some great thoughts. And I know we're getting close on time, so I want to kind of move us into our final slide here and just ask you, what's your one thing? What's one thing that's standing out from you today? Maybe add that into chat as we move back to you, Carlos, for any final thoughts, maybe a remark or two that's standing out for you. But I just want to say I really appreciated the time with you today. And I know we moved fast and furious. We did a lot of stuff with chat and breakouts. But more importantly, I think we had some really substantive conversation around this. So what's your one thing? What are you taking away from this that may have an implication for you and your work? And while you're doing that, maybe we'll come back to you, Carlos, for a final thought.
Okay. Well, I don't think I can add any thoughts that would be superior or add value to what you've already done and the space you've given this community to share its ideas as well as be provoked by the great thinking you've put out there. So what I want to do is, I've had a couple of chats come to me privately saying, hey, this is great. Todd, thank you. Thank you for being a great partner and putting this together and for an excellent job of facilitating insight, which I think is what we're all here for. It comes from everywhere, and you did a great job bringing it out. Thank you.
Well, right back at you. I really appreciated the generosity of this community, of the time today, and I've enjoyed getting to know you a little bit, and I hope that this was of some value. I'm happy to share slides of what I shared, so feel free, Tanya, to send out a PDF deck of that. It's sometimes a little smaller in file size than a full PowerPoint. And anything else that I can do to provide insight or input to your work around virtual teams, I'd be happy to still be a resource to you. So I'll let the chat run. I'll stay in the room if anyone has questions or follow up. But otherwise, thank you for your time today. And an important aspect of leading and working virtually is ending on time. And I believe in giving you all that time to do whatever you need to do for the rest of the day. So have a wonderful rest of your day, evening, wherever you may be. Thank you.
And
thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Tanya, thank you very much for the way you make this happen.
Yes.
So reliably and without fuss, even when your computer had to completely restart.
Thank you for rolling with it, Tanya.
Good for you. Thanks.
Tanya, you rock.
Tanya rocks.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And I'll send a note out to everyone once we've got everything downloaded and on the website.
Thank you.